a network of churches, and you know the great thing about it is that we find out that God is at work in all different types of churches, right? Those churches that love Jesus and preach the word, God is at work, and you're one of those, and I'm grateful to be here. You know the other person I'm a big fan of is Toni Thomas. Is she here? She's my secretary. I think I got one of the best things out of this church was Toni Thomas, and so she keeps us straight, and she sat way back there in the back. I'm not sure what that's about, but... You know, there's something about the preaching of the word, and I was kidding with Parkey. I said, I know you asked me on, Move Ahead Sunday, Spring Forward Sunday, and you asked me to preach on the Sunday right before before spring break, and I kind of know where I am on that preaching totem pole, you know? But, you know, the good thing is that no matter what, where we are or what the circumstances are, when we open up the word of God, God's word is powerful, right? So I want us just to pray as we kind of move into a serious subject here and ask that God would open our hearts and our eyes, that we would see him and that his word would transform our hearts. Would you pray with me? Well, Father, we do come before you this morning. And every time we open your word, it's an opportunity for you to speak to our hearts. And so this morning we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts so we might see you, that we might hear you, and that we might be changed and transformed. God, we thank you that you're a compassionate God. I agree with this gentleman here. I do believe there's those here this morning that are in distress, and this morning's message is for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the year was 1947. Jackie Robinson, the first African-American Major League Baseball player, was being taunted unmercifully by the fans and by the opponents there at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Well, Pee Wee Reese was the future Hall of Famer for the Dodgers, and he left his shortstop position, ran all the way across the field, stood next to Jackie Robinson, and just put his arm around him. And that simple act of compassion by Pee Wee Reese to Jackie Robinson totally silenced the crowd. And not only did it send a powerful message that day in that stadium, but also sent a powerful message around baseball and around our nation. It changed things. And you have to keep in mind, this was 8 years before Rosa Parks, before the Civil Rights Movement really got going, and Pee Wee Reese stepped out of his comfort zone and showed compassion. That story is one of the greatest stories ever told in the history of baseball. It's told over and over and over again. And actually, there is, as you see there, a statue in Brooklyn, New York, that commemorates that one act of compassion. Well, you may not be on the national stage. You may not be in a huge stadium. But I promise you, your small acts of compassion have the possibility, have the power to change someone's history, change someone's life, to change their eternal destiny. Do you believe that this morning? I want to talk to you this morning about a serious subject on compassion. It's a lot deeper than even I realized before really letting God's word do its work in me. Compassion means, I just want to show you the definition. Compassion means come is together and passion is suffering. C-O-M is together. Passion means together. So it means to suffer together. You see the definition there. It's sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with the desire to alleviate that. You see the synonyms there, but notice, if you would, the antonyms of compassion. Callousness, cold-heartedness, hard-heartedness, and heartlessness. Those are the antonyms. When you don't have compassion, that's what ends up happening in the life of a person. You get hard-hearted. That's how in a family things can get hard-hearted. That's why in a city people can get hard-hearted when they don't have compassion on other people. I want to share with you very briefly what is compassion and what it's not. What is compassion and what is it not? Compassion is not enablement, okay? When you have compassion on someone, you're not compassionate to enable them to continue in their life of sin. It's not condoning sin. Compassion is not condoning sin. Compassion is not fixing another person. You know, a lot of us, you stiff-arm people's problems a lot of times because you don't want to get involved because you can't fix the problem. You don't have the resources. You don't have something that can alleviate their problem. So, therefore, you move away from them because you can't fix it. Compassion is not just about fixing the problem. It's about suffering together with that person in the circumstances they're in, and then using whatever you can to alleviate the pain if possible. But don't push away from people because you can't fix them or fix their problem. Also, compassion is not just kind of a sappy sympathy. It is getting involved. Compassion is not just a feeling. It is getting involved and getting down and dirty with someone. So I want to talk to you about compassion. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 6, and we want to look at the compassion of Jesus Christ as opposed to the maybe hard-heartedness of the disciples. Turn with me again, Mark chapter 6. Let me give you a little background. We got more announcements here. Mark chapter, he just keeps wanting to pop up, doesn't he? I mean, that guy. Mark chapter 6, Jesus calls all of his disciples together. And he sends them out to preach the word and to do ministry. And look with me in verse 7 there, or actually verse 12. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So Jesus sends out his disciples. They're out doing ministry. They're doing great things. They're seeing miracles happen. It's unbelievable. I think they are astounded by it. And then in verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, Jesus says to his disciples, come with me and let's go get something to eat. Let's get some rest. Do you see the compassion of Christ just on something very small that he says, hey, let's get some rest. He's compassionate. He's suffering. He knows what's going on with his disciples. He's shepherding them well. And he says, let's go get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. It says when Jesus landed, he saw this large crowd of people. They were trying to get away to get rest, but they saw this large crowd of people, and it says Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and then he began to teach them, right? Do you see the compassion of Jesus again? This word here used for compassion means that he was moved on the inside. Something inside of him, he felt such great feelings that he was moved on the inside for compassion for these people, and then he began to teach them, again, compassion, the compassion of Christ. So by the time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him in this remote place. He said, it's already very late, and these people are saying they're hungry. Why don't we just send them away and let them go into the towns and villages and get something to eat? And Jesus turns to them and says, you feed them. You see, again, the compassion of Christ. He just looks at these people, sees they're hungry, says, let's feed them then. You think, well, that's not a supernatural, that's not an unbelievable thing. They're hungry, give them something to eat, Jesus says. And the disciples, being hard-hearted, said, well, you know, just logically, that doesn't make sense, Jesus. We don't have enough money for that. It would take a half year's wages for us to feed all of these people. Let's just send them away and let them get some food. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. So you know the story. He breaks the bread and multiplies the food. And everyone eats. And then it says, then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Does this hearken you back to some Old Testament? Does all of this scene kind of make you think of a psalm maybe? Notice that they're out there, a lot of people following Jesus. They're in a solitary place. He says he wants them to sit down on green grass. Notice that it says they ate and all of them were satisfied. Does that remind you of a psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Come away, let's go to a quiet place so you can rest, he says to his disciples. Do you see what this passage is making us understand about Jesus? It's helping us understand that Jesus is the great shepherd. And he's, again, showing his compassion that he is the good shepherd. So he makes them sit down in groups on green grass. So they sit down, he multiplies and so forth. And then in verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not in want. I have everything I need. I'm satisfied, right? So right after this, Jesus makes his disciples, and notice the word there. He didn't say, I suggest that you get in the boat and go to the other side. It says, he made them. Immediately in verse 45, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, notice that, shortly before dawn, these fishermen have been out on this lake and across the water all night long. They're straining against the wind. You ever felt like you were straining against the wind? So they've been out there all night, and Jesus looks down and has compassion on them, right? So he goes to them walking on water, and they had thought they had seen a ghost. They cried out because all of them saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Why didn't they understand about the loaves? Because their hearts were hardened. Do you read that there? They didn't understand about the miracle of the loaves because their hearts were hardened. What didn't they understand about the miracle of the loaves? What didn't they understand about this? They had seen a lot of miracles. They had done a lot of miracles. What were they not understanding? They weren't understanding compassion. You see, as church people, as Christian people, if you've been in a church a long time, you can do a lot of ministry. You can teach a lot of classes. You can do a lot of the things that Jesus sent you out to do without a compassionate heart, without a love for people. And you know the scripture, right? 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm worth nothing. That's what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here. You can do all the right things without the right heart, and it doesn't really transform you, nor does it transform the people around you. And so Jesus is trying to teach them about compassion. So I want to talk to you again about the power of compassion. The power of compassion. Do you realize how powerful your simple acts of compassion? A lot of people want to be a great singer or a great musician or maybe even preach the word or a great teacher. We want these outward types of gifts, but Jesus says your simple act of compassion in the lives of other people can radically transform them. I want you to think about that for a moment. Can you remember a time when you were in distress? Anxious, worried, maybe you're in the hospital, I don't know what the circumstances were, and someone came alongside you and entered into your pain. Do you remember that? Can you think of a time in your life, maybe many times, right? When someone came into your life, they were compassionate, they were together with you suffering. They came and they alleviated some of your suffering. What did it do to you? It changes you, doesn't it? It's there's a sense of hope there. That's why so many people want someone in the hospital room when they're going through something. They just want to know someone's there with them, right? Compassion is powerful. I remember a time when I was a sophomore in college. I played college football for a small school in South Carolina. I had a great freshman year, and I was coming into my sophomore year. I was supposed to start. I started the first game, and a fullback came out. I was playing defensive end. Fullback came out of the backfield, chop-blocked me, and blew out my right knee. Had reconstructive surgery on my right knee after the first game of that season. I had the surgery, went back to Atlanta, Georgia, where I grew up, and I was in my home, and I was recovering there. And one of my high school friends, who I hadn't seen in a couple of years, just had heard about it, and came over and spent some time with me. We just talked about stuff. He didn't even know what he was doing. He just came to be with me and then said, hey, if you're going back to Furman, I'd be glad. That was the school in South Carolina. I'd be glad to drive you back. So he drove me back up to Furman, 2.5 hours, dropped me off there, got me settled in, and drove back. No big deal, right? Why am I telling you about that story some 25 years later? Because it meant something to me. It did something for me. It gave me hope. It gave me a sense that someone was in the suffering with me. That's the power of a small act of compassion. Now, if I told Rob Mostello that story, he might not even remember he did that for me. That's the power of compassion. You know, my daughter wants to plant a, she's here, my wife Krista, and my daughter Julia, and Brighton, my son. She wants to plant a garden. You know, she is big, we just moved into this new house. When are we going to plant our garden? Honey, it's freezing outside. The snow's on the ground. We can't plant a garden yet, right? But I was in Lowe's yesterday, and they got all the seeds out now. The sun is starting to break, and hopefully we're not going to have any more ice and snow, right? And she said, and so I saw that, and I thought of Julia. I said, it's time to plant the broccoli or plant whatever we're going to plant. I'm not sure what we're going to do. I'm not great in that area, but we're going to work on it. And I thought about that in terms of compassion. You know, if no one's planting seeds of compassion, no one's reaping any harvest of compassion either. In your family, if no one's showing other people in your family compassion, guess what? If you're not sowing those seeds, no one's going to be reaping a harvest of compassion either. In your church or in your small group, if no one's really coming together and showing compassion for someone else, then guess what? No one's reaping compassion on the other end. You see, we're all wanting to reap a harvest without planting seeds of compassion. In a church, that can happen very easily. If no one's sowing seeds of compassion in the lives of other people, then people go there and go, well, it's just a cold church. We just feel like people are hard-hearted there because no one's sowed, because you haven't chosen to sow your seeds of compassion, therefore no one else sowing seeds, and therefore no one's harvesting compassion. You know, that can happen in a city. You go to New York and you've heard stories of someone getting hit by a car and lying in the middle of the road, and literally people walking by having no compassion whatsoever. I was going to show you a video in China. An 8-year-old little girl got hit by a bus and literally run over by, it was actually a van, run over by this van. She's lying in the middle of the street, and literally the street cameras are watching as 8 or 10 people walk straight by this girl. Never, not an ounce of compassion, just a girl left there in the middle of the street. That's how far we are from God and the compassionate God and the compassion of Jesus Christ. That's how far a nation or a people or a family or a church can move away from the compassion of God just to walk right by. Now, that's horrendous for us to think about, but you know, that's what we do to each other a lot of times, isn't it? You hear the distress in someone's voice. You hear about a challenge, and man, I don't know. I don't have time to get involved in that right now. I don't know that I can take that on right now. I can't bear that right now. And so we walk right past, right? When sometimes it would just be a simple, hey, I love you. I love you, and I don't know what I can do, but I love you, and I want to pray for you. Compassion. You see, compassion is contagious. When you show acts of compassion, when you sow seeds of compassion, they begin to be harvested by a lot of different people. And now they have compassion to give to others. And ultimately, we've got to receive that compassion from God, right? Yes, yes. That is the power of compassion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, I want to see if you can read this with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Compassion. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flowed over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. When we receive comfort from God, it has to overflow into other people's lives, because He's given us comfort. We give away comfort. And that's how this compassion works. That's the power of compassion. I want to talk to you about how do we get there? If you said this morning, well, I want to have more of a compassionate heart. I realize sometimes I am hard-hearted. I'm thinking about myself most of the time. I want to move to be more compassionate in my life. I want to talk to you about the pathway of compassion. The first thing is you have to know and understand that Jesus is the compassionate shepherd, not an angry taskmaster. Do you know that? Do you really know that Jesus is compassionate for you? He wants to get in and struggle with you. He is not constantly a taskmaster, putting more things on your plate for you to do and accomplish for him. He is your good shepherd. I want to just walk through these verses again. Jesus knows when you need rest. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, the disciples have been out doing all of this ministry. They were tired, and Jesus knows that they are tired. You think Jesus knows when you're tired? You see, Jesus knows when you're tired even when you don't know you're tired. Jesus knows when you need rest when you don't even realize you need rest. And so Jesus says, come away with me to a quiet place and let's get some rest. You see, that's a pretty simple thing, but that's how intimately involved in your life Jesus is when he knows you need rest. Sometimes your wife knows you need rest, right? Sometimes your husband knows you need rest. But Jesus says it very compassionately, come away, let's get some rest. Jesus knows when you need wisdom. It says when Jesus got out of the boat, he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, he was moved in his inner being because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them. He began to show them wisdom, he began to give them wisdom. Jesus is compassionate on you when you need wisdom. When you need to understand, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do, God? I need for you to speak to me. God is compassionate on that. He doesn't always give you the answer right when you want it because he wants to develop that relationship with you. But God knows when you need wisdom, and he's compassionate on that. He says, if you need wisdom, ask me for it, right? He's compassionate when you need wisdom. He's compassionate on your worries and your fears. The disciples are out in the boat and they had been working all night long and they were terrified, Jesus, it says in the scripture there, and Jesus goes to them walking on water. Do you believe that Jesus is compassionate on your worries and your fears and your anxiety, that he knows that and he's compassionate? He gets involved in those fears and alleviates those when you look to him. Do you believe he's a compassionate shepherd? And not just a taskmaster for you to keep doing more and more and more and more. Jesus has compassion on your weaknesses. Hebrews 4:15, what does that say? That we don't have a high priest that's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one that has been tempted in every way just as we have, yet without sin, right? Hebrews 4:15. He is compassionate even on your weaknesses because he's been through it. He's been there. He's done that, yet without sin. And so he knows how to come into your weaknesses, whatever you struggle with, personally with sin or with challenges in your life, he is compassionate on that. And so the first step in the pathway of understanding Jesus as compassionate is understanding that he is compassionate on you, and you begin to understand that and move down that pathway of compassion. The next thing is, not only do you have to know that he is compassionate, you have to receive compassion personally in your life. One thing I want you to notice about this scripture, the disciples, they didn't have a hard time understanding the miracle of the bread in and of itself. I mean, they saw the miracle, they had seen a lot of miracles, they had actually performed a lot of miracles, so they had seen and done these things. It wasn't the miracle itself that they didn't understand. They didn't understand compassion, and so Jesus sends them into the middle of the lake for them to begin to understand compassion. I'm not saying that every trouble that you ever go through is because Jesus wants you to learn compassion, but I can guarantee you there are some in your life that Jesus puts you through so that you will say, oh, this is what it feels like. Oh, this is what he meant. I didn't understand what that person was going through, but now I understand. I can now be compassionate because I have been through this. And whatever you've been through, I'm not saying Jesus sent you through it, although he did send his disciples into this situation, so you can't discount that. But whatever you've been through, God can use that for you to be compassionate on others. If you'll notice in Mark chapter 6, this is the first time the disciples had ever been on the receiving side of a miracle. This is the first time they had ever received. See, they were doing ministry, they were doing miracles, they were seeing Jesus perform miracles, but this was the first time they were on the receiving end of a miracle. And it changes you. When you're on the receiving side of God's compassion, when you're on the receiving side of someone else's compassion, it changes you. And in Matthew, it says the disciples sat back and they said, "Truly you are the Son of God." I think they knew, they knew Jesus was special. They knew he was different. They had an inkling of who he was. But when they were on the receiving side of a miracle from Jesus, they sat back and said, "Truly you are the Son of God." When you're on that receiving side, you step back and you begin to see Jesus in a whole different light. You have now experienced his compassion firsthand. If you want to be a compassionate person, allow God to give you his compassion. Allow him to work in your life. Receive that compassion for him, from him, and then move on down the path. The next thing is, you have to open your heart to feel deeply. Now, I know some of you you've been hurt before, people have hurt you, you've been through hard circumstances, you've been through hard situations in your life. You know what God wants you to do is keep your heart compassionate in the midst of that so that you can again give that away. If you're not open to feeling deeply, now that always seems like a feminine thing, right? Well, my wife, she just feels deeply here. Guess what, guys? Jesus felt deeply. He was moved with compassion here. When he healed Lazarus, he wept. Jesus wept. This is not a feminine thing. You have to be open. Guys, you have to be open to say, I am open. I'm opening my heart to feel the pain of other people. If you're not willing to do that, you cannot be a compassionate person. If you want to stiff arm pain, if you want to move back from pain, if you're always avoiding pain, you'll never become a compassionate person. Open your heart to feel deeply pain in general, and the pain of others specifically. The next thing is you have to be a prayer for people. You know what happens when you pray for people? Your heart begins to be tender towards that person. Your heart begins to latch on to what's going on in their lives, and you become compassionate towards them in the sense that you're praying for them. You are in it with them, and when you're praying right, and when you're praying in the Spirit, you know and you feel the pain of other people when you pray for them. When your heart is getting hardened, you're going to notice you're going to move away from praying for other people. It just doesn't even enter your mind. But when your heart is soft, you begin praying for people and you feel their pain as you're praying for them. The next thing is simply tell people. Tell people that you are struggling with them. Go to them in the hospital room. Go with them to wherever they're going. Go meet them in their home. See them in the small group and say, "Hey, listen, brother, I just want you to know, I feel what you're going through. And I want you to know I'm with you." Tell them verbally. Don't just think they're going to know that. Tell them verbally, "I'm with you in this struggle," whether it's a struggle with sin, whether it's a struggle with personal issues, whether it's a struggle with their health or whatever it is, tell that person you are with them. Last thing, and this is just very practical, go to the mat with one or two people in your life. Always have one or two people in your life that you're willing to go to the mat for. What I mean by that is that you're all in. I mean, whatever it takes. Now, you're not Jesus, and even Jesus himself didn't go to the mat with all the people in the world, right, when he was physically in the body. He does that in the spirit now, but he didn't do that when he was physically in the body. You can't go to the mat with every person in your life, can you? But you can say, you know, God has told me to go to the mat with you. So I'm just telling you, whatever you need, if you need to call me at 3 in the morning, I'll be there. If you need me to be at the hospital, I'll be there. If you need me, whatever you need me to do, I will be with you. And guess where that starts? Starts in your family. Starts in your family. Then it moves out maybe to your small group, and you say, "Is there anybody in my small group that I need to to show compassion towards, that I need to be with them in the midst of this. And then it goes out to the church, and you look within the church, say, there's anybody in the church that I need to go to the mat for and with in this situation. That's the pathway of moving from hard-heartedness to a compassionate heart. The last thing, and I'm going to close, is the purpose. What's the purpose of compassion? The purpose of compassion is to show the love of Christ to other people in tangible ways. That's what it is. That's the purpose. And then to, through your love, to bring them, to lead others to repentance and faith in Christ. That's the purpose of compassion. You literally become Christ to other people. So I want to ask you right now, in your family, who's sowing seeds of compassion? Are you the one sowing seeds of compassion in your family? Is anyone in your family sowing seeds of compassion? And then start with yourself. Am I doing that? And then in your small group, are people in your small group, are they sowing seeds of compassion in your small group? How about in your family? Are you sowing seeds here at Capstone? I know you are. I see the fruit of it. But ask yourselves, are we sowing seeds of compassion towards one another? Or have we become hard-hearted towards others? And then I want to ask you as a church, are you sowing seeds of compassion in this community? You see, there's a lost and dying world out there right now. And what they're dying for is compassion. They don't know they need Jesus. They really don't at this point. They don't have a clue that they need Jesus. But your compassion towards them, they know they need that. And then you begin to lead them to Jesus and say, hey, my compassion is very, very shallow compared to what Jesus has. And he's always with you. And when a church becomes a compassionate church, the community knows it. We at TerrantNet are leading churches to get involved with the school system. I tell all the time, I think the greatest mission field in our day is the public school. And probably the private schools as well. But the public school is the greatest mission field around you. I know they're in India right now. And I love Raj, love what they're doing. But many of us can't go to India. But you can walk across the street to the school. And I promise you there are needs there. It's unbelievable the needs that are in our public school. These kids that are growing up with no parents or maybe one parent or living with their grandmother. It's unbelievable. And when you go in, and we're just sending people in, and we're teaching first graders how to read. That's a huge need. I could go into that for a long time, but the fact is they need to learn how to read. And guess what? By doing that, you're showing compassion to these kids. You're loving on these kids. And you know what? The teachers get a dose of that as well. And they say, man, I have never had this much help in all of my minutes. I had a lady that's been at ML Phillips right down the street. She's been a teacher for 22 years. She said in all her days, she's never had so much help, so many volunteers coming in on a regular basis, and she literally wept as she told us that story. Just small acts of compassion. You think, well, that's no big deal. Your acts of compassion are powerful. What about you this morning? Are you in the need of receiving compassion? Maybe you're in the need of, you need to know the love of Christ in your own life. Or maybe you're sitting there and you say, you know what, I've grown hard. I knew the compassion of Christ at one time, but my heart has grown hard. And I'm not compassionate like I want to be. I want to ask you to just pray with me. Ask the worship band to come if they would.